Real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Here's a story that caught my attention this week. A pilot who was due to fly out of Dublin Airport was found to be well over the legal alcohol limit during a surprise inspection last summer. This is a random breath test. The breathalyzer test was carried out by the Irish Aviation Authority as part of an unannounced check. The breathalyzer was, the pilot wasn't fit to fly the plane and was grounded. His license has since been revoked. He was brought to the district court here, by the way, and then the American authorities took his license off him. Now the IAA has said they'll keep doing random checks like this on both pilots and cabin crew. And honestly, fair enough. I think we can all agree that we want a person flying a plane that is sober, not on drugs and not drinking, or not having a hangover. But it kind of got us thinking about random alcohol tests, you know, and we make sense for pilots, but what about other professions with serious responsibility? If you're a truck driver in Ireland, for example, I think they do random tests every now and again. But what about jobs with serious responsibility? Like doctors, nurses, surgeons, paramedics. You know, I've often overheard nurses saying, oh, they had a great night the night before and they're dying with a hangover. They're the same people who are going in and taking your blood, who are giving you medication, who are injecting you with stuff. Is that right that they don't have random alcohol tests? After all, they are responsible for your life. Your life. Lawyers, judges, who make decisions that affect your life. How would you feel if the judge in your case, be it a family law case or a criminal case, was sitting on the bench and had been out till 4 o'clock in the morning the night before? Probably unlikely, but however, how would you feel about it? Dying with a hangover, dying to get back home again. I mean, lives literally are in the hands of some people, so should they be subjected to the same kind of checks? And politicians. Politicians make decisions that affect all of our lives. Indefinitely. So much so that some people have taken their lives over decisions made by governments. So, I want to know, would that be going too far to test everybody who's in a job of responsibility? I mean, how would you feel if your boss or your employer said, listen, we're bringing in random drink tests, especially if it's one that carries out serious consequences, a job, you know, that carries out serious consequences? Or does that cross the line into your personal privacy? You know, that you might have been having out the night before and had a few drinks. I mean, I want to get your thoughts. Does that kind of go into your personal kind of privacy in all jobs? Or should we do random drink testing? I mean, I have a duty here and a responsibility to challenge people if they say things wrong. Nothing wrong with people saying things wrong on the radio once I challenge them. But I have a duty to do that. If I was off my head on drugs or drinking, which I don't do, I mean, I probably wouldn't do that properly. So I have a responsibility, a duty. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saving lives, that's for sure. But certainly I would have a responsibility and a duty, you know, to do the right thing. So, would you have a problem? I personally wouldn't have a problem with it because I don't drink. But they're never going to catch me out. But some people would have a problem with it. Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. Let me go to Connie. Connie, hi, how are you?
Niall, how are you?
I'm okay, Connie, yeah. So, Connie, how would you feel about random drug testing? Should we do that to most occupations?
Or
drink testing? Drink testing? Well, drink and drugs, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's that wrong if they're in a very responsible job, you know?
Uh-huh.
But like you, Niall, I don't really drink anymore, so I don't do drugs, so it wouldn't bother me in the slightest.
No, it wouldn't bother me. I don't do either, so, you know?
But I mean, yeah, if somebody... they're driving for a living, driving a truck, or what are loads of things. Sure, most jobs, I suppose, are quite responsible. Like doctors, nurses, and all that. Surgeons, you know, they should. Well, obviously, they wouldn't be, you think, but you never know. Yeah. So I would say yes. Sure, that's the way the world is going, isn't it?
And you wouldn't feel it's some sort of. I mean, for you, it's not a bother. For me, it's not a bother because we don't drink. But for people who drink, they're kind of saying to themselves, "Well, hold on. If I go out on a Sunday night and just have a few drinks, I don't want to be tested on Monday morning."
Yeah, but sure, I mean, if they weren't overdoing it, they'd be fine, you know? What they do, like, would say, recognising when you're driving, the night the day after, which I think is kind of mean, actually, because it's more like, the guy's making money, a lot of people most people don't crash in that situation, they're going slow in a minute, they're kind of, you know when you're driving the next morning after a night out, Niall, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it doesn't affect me anymore, but I mean, I know where I come from, there's a place where they do. People avoid that part of the town because that's where they be on Sunday morning.
But you shouldn't. You shouldn't really be driving a car if you had. If you had a lock of drink the night before.
Well, if you have lots, some people might just only have 3 pints or something, but they'd be free.
That's all right. If you had 3 pints the night before, you're not going to test positive the next morning.
That's what I'm saying. And I thought, well, the people that were langers, you know.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, off their heads, like. But I'm just saying that. It's more important actually to test people that are in a responsible job. Like if you were out, if you were a surgeon and you were out the night before until 3 o'clock in the morning. That's not very responsible. Like, you got a person's life depending on you if you're doing a big surgery.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a bit of responsibility in your job, you know?
Yeah, could you imagine, like, having a few drinks on you if you're a surgeon and you're there and do an open heart surgery and you go, jeez, where does this tube go? Yeah.
You're like, open my heart, you fucker. You know?
Why is he not breathing anymore? Can someone do something about that, please? Yeah. I mean, what about politicians? So should politicians have random drink tests?
Politicians, we have to talk about them. Okay. They should all be just bought out and...
Okay, right, okay. Please don't be condoning violence. But okay, yeah, I get what you mean. They should be there in the first place, is what you're saying.
They're the cause of a lot of people's suicide, actually. So, you know...
Not individually, but yes, the decisions that governments make, unfortunately, sadly, can cause people to take their lives. Yeah, it has. You know?
But anyway, so I mean, then I wouldn't even try. They don't factor in my existence, thank God.
Yeah, well, either way, they still have a responsible job where they make decisions that affect everyone's lives.
They're probably, they're not really working for Ireland anyway. Now, let's say that they're working for European Union.
Okay, let's not get into that conversation tonight, Connie.
But I don't see them as anything to do with me because I just don't.
You don't recognise it?
No, I don't.
Yeah, okay.
Why do they need a bar in the Dáil anyway, you know?
I believe they shouldn't have a bar in the Dáil.
There's no need for it.
No.
They're there to do a responsible job and they should, you know, it's all backhanders and brown envelopes and, oh yeah, a good man, you know, inside the bar, oh yeah, or a woman, whatever.
Yeah, we don't have a bar in work here, you know what I mean? I mean, I'm assuming most workplaces don't have a bar.
How could you take them serious, really? You know, we all know what goes on.
Yeah, she remember that very famous night going back about 8 years ago when they brought in the first piece of legislation in relation to abortion after the Savita case. And they were there till 2 o'clock in the morning. It was called the Something Pregnancy Act. Do you remember before we had the referendum to avoid any complications or, you know, people are not understanding the law? And sure, there was people sitting on people's knees at 2 o'clock in the morning. They were all off their heads. You know, well, they weren't all off their heads, but some of them clearly were.
That's wrong. Very wrong. They will pay. They will pay.
Yeah, okay, well, let me move back to what we're actually talking about. Let me go to Declan as well. Stay there, Connie. Declan, hi, how are you?
Hi, Noel, I'm pretty good, thanks.
Good. Declan, it's a bit of an invasion of people's privacy sometimes. Well, some people would argue it is, you know, to ask for a random breath test in work.
Well, on one hand, I'm anti-nanny state. I don't like, you know. But on the other hand, I think we should extend it not just alcohol, but drugs as well. Because
yeah,
I don't know if you... If you see what I see, we should call a national emergency here with regards to drugs. It looks like half the country are on drugs and the other half are selling drugs at this fucking stage.
Oh, Jesus, yeah.
No, but seriously,
I know, there's a cocaine epidemic. It's a cocaine epidemic, yeah, absolutely.
Because I was out walking my dogs there yesterday evening and I was coming up the hill and there was three adults and a little young child and the three adults were after hits on whatever and my mom was... flagging this little baggie of cocaine that she had got from some dealer. And there was a child in all its innocence, not even 4 or 5 years of age. You know, anyone that sells drugs should be up for manslaughter.
Which is, here's what bothers me about that situation that you saw. What hope has that child got in life? Do you know what I mean? A complete disadvantage start to life. No hope.
Yeah.
You know, I saw the same myself. I was up around Parnell Street one day. And there was two of them off their bickie sitting on the steps and there was a baby in a buggy and your one had the bottle in her hand and she shoved it into the baby's mouth and she was off her head and so was your mum. He was obviously the boyfriend sitting beside her, right? And I said, what chance has that child got? Take the child off them and give it to good parents who want a child and who look after it and love it and take care of it. You know what I mean? The child has no chance. It's a whole other topic, but Declan, you are right to draw attention to
that. No, we're going off piece here, but Peter?
Yep.
Yeah, no, with regard to, like, just the, you know, pilots and doctors, I think, you know, who's watching the watchers, then, like, who's going to test the tester? Because the tester needs it's like the penalty point system. You know, it's all right, Jack. I know you're fine. You know that kind of way?
Yeah.
It has to be done with diligence and complete transparency and honesty.
And impartiality, of course. Yeah.
You know, and, you know, there's going to be costs associated with it. And if it's going to be like an invasive kind of method that you're going to use a needle, then that could be a sore thing. But I think you can do a drug sample with a urine, is it, or something?
You can. I can do good urine or hair. Do they do it with hair samples as well? Yeah, hair sample. Should we extend this? should it be extended to say doctors, nurses, surgeons, paramedics, lawyers, judges, people who you consider, you know, to have responsibilities that can be life saving by times?
Well, in cases where there are doubts about one's kind of behavior, or you know, maybe history, or maybe there's possibly a pattern of something that's amiss. You know what I mean? You know.
Well, then you're waiting now till the horse is bolted before you do something about it.
Well, I know, but the problem we have is right that. How are you going to police this? How is it going to be implemented? I know we brought in the COVID and Jesus, like I got those tests and nobody wanted to get them done, but we got them. But I'm sure who's going to pay the price? Is it company or is it the state or how is it going to work?
I don't think it would be that expensive to have, you know, I mean, in each hospital you have one person, they have the duty and responsibility to go around and randomly test people. Randomly, it's your turn today, you know, whatever. It could be anybody's turn. You know, because I think it's really important. I mean, if you've got a nurse coming into work with a hangover, you know, God knows what she could do. She inject you with the wrong stuff or something. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, those kids, didn't they put in non-medical, what was it? Something into the scoliosis patient?
Oh, yes, yeah. But there was a case there in the UK there recently where a nurse had given, now I don't remember the actual details of the case, but it should have been 7 milligrams of something, and she gave the child 700 milligrams instead of 7.
And the child died.
So there was a massive malpractice lawsuit. But that, like,
was that
sort
because
of thing,
she had alcohol in her system or drugs?
Well,
or
no, I think what? It was just incompetence.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But what I'm saying is incompetence has no place in the healthcare system, unfortunately.
No.
And everything should be double-checked. But either way, you know, surgeons, lawyers, judges, politicians, absolutely politicians make life-changing
decisions.
Definitely
politicians, because if they make these decisions in the wee small hours and the bar is open, you know, then that decision should be deemed null and void now because, you know, it wasn't made with a clear head. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but the bar shouldn't be open. There shouldn't be a bar in the Dáil.
Well, first of all, you know, on the topic of the bar, right, I heard there's a big bar bill still owed to the state, right?
That's right, yeah.
And if that's the case, any politician that owes that bar money that hasn't paid up should not obtain a tax clearance certificate. Mm. That is the case.
Yeah.
It's as simple as, where is the due diligence? Where is the, do you know what I mean? These people are supposed to lead by example. I mean, look, it says it all when Michael Lowry is up there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
I mean,
essentially, he's almost running the government at the moment. He seems to be making all the decisions at the moment. But in relation to the bar, you're right. They get the drink very cheap, by the way. It's not, you know, normal bar prices. It's a discounted, subsidised rate they're paying, but practically wholesale prices they're paying. So they're getting it dirt cheap, and yet they still, there's a load of them still owe money down on the tap. There should be no bloody tap.
Yeah, no, not on their wages.
No.
Definitely not.
No.
They can well afford to pay and more. You know what I mean? But yeah, no, I agree to a certain extent, but half of me, you know what I mean, there's a devil on my left shoulder and the angel on my right, and one is saying, you know, don't have an nanny state. The other is saying, well, you know, in such exceptional circumstances, yes.
But is it really a nanny state? Because you take that story that was in the paper today about the pilot who was flying out of Dublin Airport. If he wasn't tested, and he was well over the limit, if he wasn't tested, he could crack. Now, admittedly, it was a cargo plane, but it doesn't matter. He still has to fly over cities, you know, so he could still kill quite a lot of people if he crashed it. I mean, if, you know, there's a possibility he could crash the plane.
Well, no, I completely agree. You know, safety and security is paramount when it comes, especially when it comes to travel, flying an airplane, or even driving a car. You know what I mean? But the thing is, where does the buck stop then, right? Because does that go to the flight attendants as well, and then the passengers? Because I know Michael O'Leary was calling for 2 or 3 drink minimum or something like that.
Mm.
Now, I was lucky to be flying to Barbados 2 weeks ago with my wife, and we were flying British Airways.
Yeah.
And there was an Irish flight attendant there, Caroline, and she was giving us loads of drink, right?
Yeah.
Because we were Irish and we had a great chat with her. Now, does that mean that she was kind of negligent by giving us a little drink or two over and above?
No, she should have.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, no. Well, no, hold on. It's your personal responsibility how much you drink. Yeah. Just because people give it to you doesn't mean you have to drink it.
But by the way, the rule for random testing
also applies to cabin crew as well, because they as well have a duty. Because if anything goes wrong, there's an emergency. They have to be able to react. You know, so that is...
They do, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, their primary role is to get everyone off the plane.
Off the plane, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Open the door, my jaw out.
No, yeah. I completely agree to an extent, but as long as it doesn't, you know, as you said there, you mentioned the National Children's Hospital, do you know what I mean?
Well,
when we're doing a sobriety test, let's do a meth test as well for these idiots up there, will we?
I put the tweet up there yesterday about this Epic Universe theme park, which they built in 3 years. It's 100 acres, hotels, restaurants, theme park. It's massive, cost $7 billion. They built it in 3 years. We're waiting since 2016 for a single building. I mean, it's just incredible. Incredible.
Yeah, it's going to cost more than the Burj Al Khalifa.
I know, of course, it's one of the most expensive buildings in the world.
And when is it due for completion?
Well, it's being pushed forward now to 2026.
And we're only in...
You'd be lucky if your grandkids get to use it, Declan. Declan, stay there with me for a second. Connie, thank you very much. Because I want you to stay there, Declan, because Owen is going to come on straight after the break. I have a short break to take, and Owen believes absolutely not. It shouldn't be done. Now, I know Declan is a little bit on the fence, and I can understand why people don't want a nanny state as well. All right, some of your texts coming in. Somebody says, what about teachers? Teachers who end up taking it out on the kids the next day in school, or childminders in a creche? Absolutely. Well, extended to care workers while you're at it, people who look after the elderly as well in nursing homes. So should people get a random test, a drink test, every now and again, just random? They never know what's going to happen. Just to make sure they're not working while they have alcohol on them. The number is 087-188-0008. Or maybe you think that goes too far, like Owen. Owen, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, how's it going?
Good. Owen, you think it's a kind of step too far, do you?
Well, in most workplaces, they don't have the mechanism in place. Like, if it is, like I was in the army and we had random testing that time. Mm. And they have the mechanism in place. You get your B sample, and if you fail it, then you have a B sample and you can put that in and see does that fail. And if that doesn't fail, then
A B sample, what, like a urine sample in the morning, is it?
Yeah, you give your urine sample and they break it in two.
Yeah, that's kind of taking the piss, isn't it?
One, and they, exactly, and you get one. And that's exactly what the guards do.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm.
No. Obvious, and even
well, they could do. Well, they do with a breathalyzer. The one in the IFF, the aviation authority, do was a breathalyzer.
Yeah, that's right. And if you pass the breathalyzer, you're fine.
Yeah.
But if you fail the breathalyzer, then they want a further sample.
Yeah, blood sample. Yeah.
Yeah, or urine, one or the other, and they'll break that in half, and you'll get a sample. But like that's funded. An awful lot of jobs or businesses just wouldn't have the funding, they wouldn't have the setup, they wouldn't have the laboratories, they wouldn't have the testing in place.
But the jobs we're talking about are public jobs, generally speaking. You know what I mean? They're nurses, they're doctors, right? They're teachers, they're lawyers, they're judges, they're politicians. They tend to be state jobs.
No, Niall. Everyone driving professionally with a driver's license, a professional driver's license, has a different limit. And if you're involved in an accident, you have to give a sample, and you could, you know, there's very serious consequences.
Oh, you lose your license.
If you're not involved in an accident, if you're going to work in the morning and say you're a truck driver, but you're driving your car to work, are in your private vehicle having the lower limit that you have as a truck driver? Mm. Or is that only when you're in a truck?
No, I think the lower limit is only when you're in the truck.
Yeah, well, yeah. Let's face it, driving a truck is a very serious...
Absolutely, thing. But they have random drink testing.
Well, many of them do.
Yeah.
Many of them do,
I'm worried... Well, I'm not worried. I'm just wondering, do you think there's an invasion of privacy there, you know, in some element? Do you believe there's a bit of an invasion of... Or as well, Declan said, a kind of nanny state?
There's an opportunity for bullying here, Niall. Mm. Like, say there's a redundancy package coming up because the company lost a contractor or something, and they all knew that Johnny for years was coming in with a smell of drink off him. But then...
Yeah, but Johnny shouldn't be coming in with a smell of drink off him.
And they were putting up with it for years and years because you never
But they shouldn't be putting up with it. But here's the thing. What difference does that make?
No, they shouldn't. You're right. Yeah. You're right, Niall. And his transport manager is liable to a term of imprisonment for allowing him to do that. And that's a good law. I'm in favour of that. We can't have people driving Arctics on the road out of the box.
Yeah.
Right. But
well, so we all agree that with responsible jobs you shouldn't be drinking and you shouldn't be out the night before getting lashed. So what? No, so what? Where? So where is the problem in random drug and drink testing?
I think that doing it fairly and correctly with the correct mechanisms in place and not being able to use it as a form of bullying or intimidation.
Oh, well, I would hope it wouldn't be used in such a corrupt fashion.
I would too, yeah.
Declan, do you think it would be used in that kind of way to bully somebody? Or
it could, well. Yeah.
Well, let me ask that.
In my previous years, I was a union official, and I know constructive dismissal is still very much active.
Absolutely,
you know, in the workforce. And I think if they want you out, they will find a way. But, you know, what was acceptable, Niall, back in the 70s and 80s isn't as acceptable today. You know what I mean? With Johnny coming in with the smell of a hunk of drink. You know what I mean? Because I worked with guys that came in with drink. But they were still, you know, functional and they weren't drunk. That's the main thing, you know. And their job didn't involve brain surgery.
So, right, okay.
You know, to a degree, that was fine. But still, today's environment, it's kind of like, they'll probably could use that as an avenue if they wanted you gone. But I think Johnny should be, you know, should have his wits about him now, you know, if particularly if he knows there's this new kind of directive coming down the tracks that if you're, you know,
If Johnny's in a job where he's got 6 months to retirement or 6 months, you know, to get out and he's going to get a lump sum or whatever, you know, there's not a chance that Johnny should be drinking and coming into work because now he's just giving them a reason to chuck him out.
Absolutely.
He should be on his best behaviour.
Well, without the B-sample mechanism, it could be rigged against him. Mm. He could be like...
Well, I see, you're talking about, you know, obviously urine samples and blood samples. We wouldn't be going down that road unless it was a case that somebody tested positive, right? Then you obviously have to go down that road to from a legal point of view. But it would be just a breathalyzer. And there's a way that I think there is a drug test. I'm not too sure, like an antigen type test for drugs. Anyway, but let's just focus on drink for the moment.
The one the guards test you on the road with, it's a swab.
A swab.
They've tested me, and I've been bagged a good few times even though I don't drink at all.
Right,
they have, you know, the random sampling that the guards have on the road. They stop you and they check you, like.
And what? They stick a swab in your mouth and then what do they do with it?
Yeah, they'll ask you to do the breathalyzer first and then they'll check that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And they always ask you, like, when did you have your last drink? And I'd be saying, 1995. And they'll say, well, we'll soon see about that. Blow in here now. So you blow in and when it comes up 00, then they say, oh, Jesus, I didn't see one of them for a long time. Because you'd be surprised. Yeah.
I know, if you've had a drink 2 days ago, it still might come up as a 2 or something like that.
But then after that, they have a thing like, it's like a big Q-tip and they swab the inside of your mouth and they put it into another thing and you have to hang around for 10 minutes talking to them and then...
It changes colour or whatever. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly. Yeah. Like, you know, but...
Okay. I've never had that test done, by the way, so I don't know. Actually, I haven't been stopped at a checkpoint. Must be 6-7 years. Sorry, Declan. Go ahead.
I was in Corfu many years ago with my girlfriend, who's now my wife, and we had a crash. And it was 2 nights in hospital.
You kind of crashed.
We did have a crash.
We kind of crashed.
But I tell you, the first thing they done at the side of the road was give me a breathalyzer. And I wasn't drinking, so that was funny. Like, that was kind of strange. I heard they do that now in Ireland.
I thought they had to wait till you were out of the care of medics.
I don't know unless
you're walking wounded. I don't know what the rule is.
I was walking wounded. I wasn't that badly injured, but I did need a cast on the leg, like, you know, kind of thing. But it wasn't life or death. I remember clearly they gave me a breathalyzer at the side of the road, and they told me.
I don't know. Maybe a guard could text in and let us know, but I'm not too sure what the restrictions are. If there's an accident, are you allowed to breathalyze the person at the scene? I'm I'm not too sure whether
maybe the Greek laws are different to Irish, yeah. You know, or but I heard it's now active in Ireland. I'm not too sure, but yeah. That would be kind of...
Well, that's a good thing. I don't see a problem with that, by the way. Stay there a second, lads.
Neither do I.
Yeah, yeah. Let me go to Jerry. Jerry, hi, how are you?
Not too bad, Noel, not too bad at all.
Good. Jerry, should we be breathalysing people in responsible jobs? Everybody in responsible jobs?
Absolutely.
Mm.
Absolutely, Noel. I mean, I don't know whether I missed a bit of the conversation of what the article is about or the...
Yeah, no, it was a pilot flying out of Dublin Airport. He was breathalysed and he was well over the legal limit. So the plane was grounded. He was brought to the district court. He was American, by the way. He was brought to the district court, but then the licensing authority in America revoked his license. End of story. He's finished. He's doomed. He'll never fly again.
Yeah, well, I mean, when that happens in the army, like you're straight out of the army if you're caught with drugs.
Mm.
So, I mean, if you're stopped in the army and you test positive for drugs, you're gone, like.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. I didn't know that. I thought you might have got a second chance. Anyway, but
no, you don't.
What about politicians, doctors, nurses, teachers, crash workers? Should there be random breath testing? Because their job is a huge responsibility.
Yeah, well, I mean, if they bring her in, like, you imagine the politicians, the judges and the lawyers, there's going to be an awful lot of them, don't?
I think so. Yeah.
Like, absolutely. There's a lot of them, don't? I mean, both on drugs and drink.
Yep.
I mean, we have. So, I mean, they might be biting themselves in the foot there. Or shooting themselves in the foot.
Yeah, that's why they probably won't bring it in. I'm only asking the question. They probably won't bring anything like this in.
But they won't bring him in. And then what's the consequences from, like, what about the night before?
Well, it doesn't matter. If you're out drinking the night before and you've had so much drink that the following day you're still over the legal limit, well, that's your problem, isn't it?
I know, but...
You shouldn't be at work.
I mean, are they going to need their prosecution, or are you just going to lose your job?
Well, I suppose it depends on the job. Like, if you're a surgeon and you were out the night before in coppers having a ball of a night, didn't get home at 5 a.m, and you're back in at 8 o'clock the next morning doing open heart surgery, and you test twice over the legal limit, I think you should lose your license.
No, I mean, definitely if you're over the limit, yeah, 100%. I'm just saying if there's traces of a found in your...
Oh, that's fine. Now, once you're under the limit, that's it. That's fine.
Yeah, but I know in the army, you can check this out yourself, but I know in the army, if you're found with traces of drugs in your system at all, you're gone.
Mm.
And there's no second chance. And that's even from, it could be even up to a week ago. And they do a lot of random testing. Yeah. They do a lot of random testing in the army. I mean, they're subject to a lot of that.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know how far back the likes of cocaine and cannabis will go stay in your blood system. I think it's a pretty long time.
Oh, it is a long time, but yeah.
Yeah, so if that's found in your system, like, you're gone out of the army straight away. Mm. So, I mean, I think drink and drugs are two different things. I mean, the drink could be out of your system the next day, but certainly the drugs won't be.
Well, how would you feel if you knew that a consultant doctor or a surgeon or a judge or a politician for that matter was somebody who used drugs on a regular basis? Now, they might not be off their head while they're in work, but at the weekend when they're going out, they're using drugs, they're using cocaine. Would you have faith in them?
Absolutely not. You're mad.
Yeah.
No, but they
might argue, well, hold on a second, it's my time, it's my social life, as long as I'm not tuning in work, you know, you'll go out for a few drinks, I take a line of cocaine. That's what they'll argue.
Well, I mean, there's a big difference between, as I say, the alcohol goes out of your system, Noel, the cocaine doesn't.
Mm.
I mean, and
well, the effects of it do. Well, you know, the effects of it do go out of your system, I imagine.
Well, I mean, depends what you're on. I mean, I know, I used to know people taking the like speed and that, and they'd have to come down by smoking heroin, because they wouldn't come down off the speed unless they smoked heroin.
Okay, I wouldn't be familiar, but hey, I believe you. So you think random testing is not a bad idea for drugs and drink?
I know, but I mean, if it's applied right across the board, Noel, are the politicians going to resign? Are the judges going to resign? Are the lawyers going to resign? Or are they just going to be sacked? Because I've never seen a politician lose a seat over anything.
Declan, I get the point Jerry's making. What's the point if nothing's actually going to happen? In other words, if a politician is caught, you know, with cocaine in his system or too much drink the next day and he's in the Dáil and there's a vote on and he's caught, should he lose his job, Declan? Or should he be given a chance?
I'll be honest, I have heard that it's the white collar, it's the high polite that are taking the cocaine more than the...
Oh, yeah, because they can afford it, yeah.
and they're the ones that's fueling the problem. But it just brings me back to a teacher I had, no names, no, but he was fond of the whiskey for a while, right?
Yeah.
And he'd be, and you could smell it off him. He was a great teacher, Niall. Do you know what I mean?
Mm. I had the same. I had a Christian brother teacher who was fond of the drink and the smell of drink off him, but no, he wasn't a great teacher. My history teacher.
He wasn't, yeah.
No, he was useless.
Well, this guy wasn't a Christian brother, but he was a great teacher. And he's cleaned up his act. I heard he was going through rocky patches to misses or something like that.
Well, look, yeah.
But fairness, that's one of the reasons why he turned to the whiskey, I think. But he was still a great teacher. So he delivered. Do you know what I mean? But I think there may be a case, right, that if the public servants, if there's a certain cohort that's, tested and the rest aren't, then they may take a case. And not only that, right, listen, if a judge is found to be, you know, whatever, alcohol in the system or drugs, then all the previous cases, they could take a case, you know, and say, I was convicted here by somebody
him.
Who may, or yeah. May, yeah, may not be on. So you probably open a can of worms there. You know what I mean? Mm. You really could.
Well, you could only prove that the judge was drinking on the day they were tested. So I don't know whether there would be some sort of cases.
Well, you know, if you have a good barrister, a good solicitor, they could get an angle.
Yeah, I suppose so. They can argue anything in court, can't they? Yeah.
Yeah, you know, they usually get away with it too.
Yeah, stay there both of you a second. Let me go to John as well. John, hi, how are you?
Hi, Nine, how are things?
Good. John, random compulsory testing for drink and drugs. Should we do it more often?
Should what?
Should we do it more often in different occupations?
Yeah, definitely. 100%. I'm being honest about it. I can't believe what I'm hearing there off the people that are on the phone chat. Like, your men there talking about Johnny, say about he's retiring and he's drinking at work. It's as if it's like it's okay. It's not okay. No matter if Johnny's retiring, if he's 80 years put in at the workplace, or whether he's 1 year, he shouldn't be drinking at work. He shouldn't be drinking at work. Like, I drive a machine. It should be in construction sites. The guard should do it. Hospitals should do it. Everyone should do it randomly.
Yeah.
I don't see nothing wrong with
it. But it is done on construction sites, isn't it? I mean, I know they do it for crane drivers and things like that. There is random testing, isn't there, for crane drivers and those kind of jobs?
There is, but there isn't an awful lot now, I'll tell you the truth.
Right, okay.
Like you're on about just the breathalyzer.
Yeah.
Just to blow in and to see are you over the limit. It's not a big deal. It's not taking blood. You only take blood if you fail it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but the boys there seem to have a problem with you blowing into it and if you fail it.
Mm.
Like, yeah, the boys there working in the army, I don't know what they're saying. I honestly, no offense, but my honest opinion is that there should be randoms on every building site, every site. Just a private company should be doing it. And they never know when you're going to show up. Even the judges should do it. Barristers should do it.
Nurses, doctors, teachers. Yeah, guards. Yeah, guards, yeah.
Like as you said there, you wouldn't want anyone operating on you if they were drunk or if they were under the influence of drugs in the morning, would you?
No, absolutely not.
You know?
But No, just two points. I mean, you wouldn't even have to test some of the politicians because they have their own bar in there. You just catch them drinking. And they're pretty sure they're drinking on the job as well.
Mm.
I mean, they're bringing people. I mean, politicians will invite you into the Doyle. Bring communities into the Doyle and then bring them to the Doyle bar and have a few drinks. Then they shouldn't be allowed drinking the job at all.
Oh, no, I agree. Yeah. There just should be no bar in the Doyle. No, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh,
mm. I mean, how many workplaces in Ireland have a bar in it? Not very, very few. You know? And that's a workplace that has a huge responsibility for the decisions that are made in the country.
I mean, we've seen a few politicians just piss out of the face. And the next day they're representing the people and they're running the country.
Mm.
So, I mean, that law is never going to come in. Or it's only going to be applied to the ordinary Joe Soap, the ordinary working class people. It's definitely going to apply to them.
Yeah, but if there was a compulsory law where people didn't know if they were going to be tested in the morning or tested next week or whatever, kind of you think twice about drinking then going into work.
You
if
would,
it was compulsory.
Yeah. I mean, they say you should get at least an hour of sleep for every unit of drink that you've drank. So if you go out to Coppers and you're out there till 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and you've been out since 5 o'clock with your mates, and you've had maybe 10 units, well, then you need 10 hours sleep. So if you go home at 4 o'clock in the morning, you really are not good to go at 8 o'clock the following morning for work. You'll get done in your car. If you're stopped by the police, you're going to get done anyway. But you shouldn't be in work. You know? And the same goes for drugs. If you're out the night before and you're, you know, doing lines of cocaine, you shouldn't be in doing brain surgery the next day.
Definitely not. But I wouldn't see any word. No. And what your honest opinion? What do you think, guys?
I wouldn't bother me in the slightest if they had random drug testing or drink testing here in the radio station. Yeah. Wouldn't bother me.
Because
I don't drink and I don't do drugs. So the only thing I do is paracetamol.
The problem is if we do it, we're in trouble.
but here's the thing. So I don't know who mentioned it. Could have been Jerry mentioned earlier on. So what happens? So we a politician is caught over the legal limit. I can imagine there'll be loads of people caught. Or a judge, or a lawyer, or a nurse, or a doctor. What do? Do we take their license away if they're a doctor? Do we fire them if they're a nurse? Do we chuck them out of the Dáil if they're a politician? What do we do with them?
Yeah, I know.
Or do they just get a fine? You know what I mean? What happens?
Yeah, I know. And even you're on about the drugs there. The drink stays in the system 12 hours, is it? Well, it all depends on
how much you've drank. Yeah, an hour for it. They say it's an hour for every unit of drink, yeah.
Yeah, but according to the news and things, drugs is the biggest problem now.
Yeah.
Not just drugs.
Well, that's what Declan was saying. Yeah, cocaine. Yeah, yeah.
And apparently that stays in your system for 3 or 4 days.
Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if the effectiveness of the drug stays in your system, but certainly it stays in your bloodstream. Yeah.
Yeah, it stays a lot longer than drink anyway. But, the country's full of drug addicts. You see,
here's the thing. If you're a politician, you shouldn't be doing drugs.
Yeah,
that's just there's no getting away from that. You're like this idea that I do it in my spare time at the weekend. Sure, I can do what I want. No, you can't. You know, you have a reputation, you have credibility. You shouldn't be doing drugs.
Yeah, I think every Monday morning there should be just a test in every company, in every private firm, company, public, private, the whole. I get tested on a Monday morning in the store, blow into your thing, and if you fail, you're out the door, and if you don't, in you go.
Yeah, but it would have to be random because you couldn't test everybody. That would be so time consuming and the administration involved in that would be mad. So it would have to be random. You know, you just pick a few people randomly because everybody would be worried if they were going to be the person caught. I got to take a quick break. I'm going to come to Ray after the break. The number, by the way, as usual, if you want to send us a quick text is 087-188-0008. Would you be happy enough to take part in a random drink or drug test in your own workplace? And should we introduce it in more workplaces where there's responsibility? Doctors, nurses, teachers, lawyers, judges, politicians. What do you think? All right, let's go to Ray. Ray, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. One second there, I'll just take off hands-free.
Okay, no problem.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good, Ray. Don't take me off hands-free if you're driving now, sure you won't.
No, I'm sitting down watching YouTube for crying out loud.
All right, okay. That's the way to pass the night through, isn't it? It's better than TikTok. Anyway, Ray, do you believe there should be random drug testing in all jobs that have a level of responsibility?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
If you're working with even construction professional drivers, I was a taxi driver for many years, and some dove rear-ended me on a scooter. I was breathalyzed. Now, like you, I don't drink. I only have those nasty habits with the nicotine. That's it.
Yeah.
And like that. Now I was breathalyzed and obviously tested. And there are companies out there who do random testing, but that will be on behalf of the big company who brings them in.
Yeah, third party companies. And yeah.
They go in, they pick out 4 or 5 people, test those people then, and any positive test, then that goes to management. And depending on what job they're in, I presume they would be either disciplined or terminated. And, a responsible job, be it any job really as such.
A lot of jobs are responsible.
Aviation, working with heavy machinery, construction, they should all be random tested.
Yep, teachers, politicians, nurses, doctors, surgeons.
And the guards. The guards.
Yeah, the guards, yeah.
But who polices it then?
Who polices the police?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, it would have to be independent then from that point of view.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. But then once, if hypothetically speaking, you know, if there was a member of the Garda Síochána, if they were tested and tested positive, who's going to...
Yeah, what happens?
Police that then?
But this is the question everyone's asking, and Declan even said the same thing earlier on. So you're a teacher, or you're a lawyer, or you're a doctor, or you're a Garda, and you test positive, just over the legal limit. So what happens? Do you get fired? Do you get a fine? Do you just get a slap on the wrist and told not to do it again? Well, I mean, what happens?
If you're, well, if you go into work and you're pissed as a fart or stoned out of your tiny little box, dismissed straight away, no questions asked.
Well, that would that would be visibly obvious anyway, wouldn't it? But sometimes people aren't. I mean, I know people who are alcoholics who are not obviously alcoholics, if you know what I mean.
Functioning alcoholics, yeah.
Yeah, they don't look drunk, but they are. They're over the limit all the
time. But they're functioning.
Yeah.
They're functioning and nobody can tell.
Yeah, but so you breathalyze one of them. Should they lose their job?
I mean, like, I'm not going to be a hypocrite about it. Yes, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No second chances. You go in pissed or stoned. I mean, like, out the door straight away. No questions asked. Good luck.
Yeah.
Sayonara. Don't let the door hit you on the arse on the way out.
I mean, Declan is not really against the idea, but what he's kind of saying is, you know, if we keep introducing these kind of things all the time, we are kind of, well, we've already done it. We're heading down the kind of 1984 route, you know, the kind of nanny state. And, you know, very soon we're going to be bringing in legislation to stop people from speaking, for God's sake. So, I mean, that's not really what we want either. So I understand his concern in relation to that. There's a bit of an invasion in people's private lives too.
But a little bit of an invasion into somebody's private life, if you're saving another life, would it really matter?
It's a fair point, Declan, isn't it? If it's about saving other lives.
Yeah, but I know guys there that, you know, they'll drink 10 pints and they'll be stone cold sober. I drink 4 and I'd be kind of stained, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
it's kind of like, I don't know if possibly genetics, but it all depends on the role you're serving. Do you know the what you're going to be doing in life, you know, for a living? So if you're behind the wheel of whatever, you know, definitely, you know. Mm-hmm. And not just drink, but drugs more so, because you'd be surprised. As far as I'm aware now, it's 50-50. Drug driving has surpassed, actually, drink driving.
Drink driving is still a massive problem. Because
it is.
If you look every year when they do Operation Lifesaver in December, the guards do Operation Lifesaver, where they have more checkpoints. And they always catch a few thousand people, right? And they're the ones they catch. So if you think about it, even though everyone knows drink driving is illegal, but people still do it, right? But they're the ones they catch. So how many do they not catch? So there's still thousands of idiots who jump into a car every night drunk.
Yeah, but like, you have 1 pint and you're over the limit now, as far as I'm aware.
That's right.
But
you can be.
Guys,
yeah, you can.
We're actually drug driving, because they're usually young guys and they are speeding like through housing estates like a bed out of hell.
Mm-hmm.
But they must be fueled by cocaine, like, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Have to be. Drink drivers kind of tend to kind of crash into parked cars, or, you know, that kind of way.
Yeah,
they wouldn't be going that fast.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's my kind of take on it.
Well, I'm always amused by that. When I say amused by the drink driving thing, the fact that everybody knows it's illegal, but yet people still do it, I find that kind of a little bit mind-blowing. Anyway, stay there for a second, both of you. Let me just go to Shane as well. Shane, hi, how are you?
Niall, how are you doing? Good evening. I've just listened to the conversation there. In my view, it's a no-brainer. To sample people. I know what that gentleman was saying, you know, where do we stop? But the world is changing and people are addicted to different substances and we have to change with that. Now, that said, I don't know whether people realise, but if you have an organisation where a person is consuming alcohol either in work or prior to work, very difficult situation to deal with. You take, especially if it's a colleague or someone you know quite well, you don't want to report them, first of all. And this is my reasoning for the sampling. You don't want to report them because you'd be seen as, you know...
this niche.
Exactly. So you have a dilemma. However, you're looking at other work colleagues. You're saying this person potentially could put themselves and, worse again, other people at danger. And knowing that, so you see a person comes in the morning, drunk, in your eyes. Again, you don't know if they're drunk, stoned, whatever. That's another issue. We're not qualified to comment on another individual's state of mind. So you cannot go to a senior manager and say he's drunk or she's drunk. You can't do that because they could be on some medication for an illness. They could be, there could be a litany of things as to why they're acting a bit strange. Mm. That's the fourth thing. So if you smell alcohol off their breath, say, and you're 100% convinced yourself, that's still not enough because we're not, as a work colleague, not qualified in a court of law to make that judgment. So for any organisation to suspend or to rid that person of the site at that moment, they need evidence also. So they can't just say you drink on you, because ultimately you'll end up in a court if the person does fight it. And the guards will tell you all this because, I mean, they random sample you at the side of the road with a blow-in bag. That's still not enough. They take you back to the station and get an...
Oh, from a legal point of view, they have to verify the sample. Yeah, they can't convict you on a breathalyzer.
So you apply the same principles to it to any organisation. So you have a guy then, or we just say any person that's you know, drunk. So now you're faced, if colleagues are worried, concerned, they're going, look, this person could either, depending on their job, you know, drinking, it's not just, I know you were talking about nurses, pilots and all that kind of thing. They're high-end jobs where you can cause multiple deaths.
But there's a lot of high-end jobs. Surgeons,
yeah.
Nurses are a huge one. Politicians have a huge responsibility.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But many of bad decisions were made with drink on them. They say drinking and gambling don't mix. People make stupid mistakes and all that kind of good stuff. But just deal with life. That's monetary. But just deal with life decisions. So if you take any organisation where a simple job where someone is using an angle grinder or whatever, they have potential to cause harm to other people.
Yeah.
100%. Or they're going up a ladder. Or now, you imagine you seeing young Jimmy comes in and he's drunk and you all go, I bet you he's smell a drink off and whatever. You know that. Then an hour later you hear, oh, there's been a terrible accident.
Yeah, yeah, he's cut his leg off with a grinder. Yeah.
You could have averted that, but you didn't want to report it. So now what that does, it mitigates you having to go to management. So if you have a random sample, now here's the other thing. If that person is, and they fail it, right, doesn't mean they're sacked. Because now, if you understand employment law, right, if people look into it, if that person puts their hands up and says, yeah, I'm an alcoholic, I'm so sorry, it's an addiction. It's considered an addiction.
Hold on. That excuse would only work in, you know, with certain bosses. Yeah, I mean, this, for example, the story started out with Dublin Airport back in September. They breathalyzed a pilot who was over the legal limit. Now, he's lost his license. Now, he could turn around and say, I'm an alcoholic all he wants, but he's never flying a plane again.
Oh, yeah, but that's in their contract, their pre-terms conditions. But if you look at most jobs, most government jobs, most private jobs, if the person puts their hands up and says, listen, I'm an alcoholic, I need help, it's the organization's duty to help.
What, to give them a second chance, so to speak?
Exactly. It is, absolutely, absolutely. Look, if you look into the law, they have to, because it's an addiction. Niall, you're probably addicted to cigarettes. It's an addiction. The only difference.
Yeah, but I can't say. Yeah, but I'm not allowed to smoke and work. Yeah, like, I can't just spark one up here now at the moment, even though I'm addicted. And if I did, I might rightly get fired. You know?
But you know what I'm saying. Like,
give me cigarettes, AJ.
it's a difficult. It's a sickness. It's an illness. And likewise, drugs, etc. It's an illness. It's a very difficult drug to get off. And you take any alcoholic, it's a very difficult road for them.
Okay.
They have to go and drive.
Okay, unfortunately, I'm running out of time, but I get the point you're making, Shane, that it mitigates the idea of anybody else having to tell on somebody that may be obviously having a problem in work and coming into work drunk on a regular basis, possibly on Monday morning or whatever it is. Anyway, so it takes away the responsibility of others to have to do something about it. I get it, and that's a really good point made. Lads, unfortunately, I've run out of time. Jerry, Ray, Declan, Shane, thank you very, very much indeed. Declan, thank you for staying as long as you did as well.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.